glory, His divine story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Grateful and loving salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai, and also its executive producer, director and supreme manager. Sai Ram, good morning dear listeners. Welcome to Thursday Live. You are tuned to our Asia stream and we are coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. My name is Karuna and I'm honored to host this segment, Morning Glory. Thank you for your company on this fine Thursday morning, April the 27th, 2017. The time in the Radio Sai studios right now is almost 9:40. Actually, it's 9:39 and a few seconds. I'm a bit early. That is Indian Standard Time. Current weather conditions in the ashram call for clear skies with occasional cloud cover and a chance of rain sometime tomorrow. Current temperature is at 34 degrees Celsius and we are expecting afternoon highs of a balmy 41 degrees Celsius and somewhat cooler evenings and overnight temperature at about 27 degrees Celsius. Yesterday in the evening, Prashanthi Nilayam had a sudden downpour of rain, but it was somewhat localized to the downtown core. The nearby suburbs experienced only gusty winds but no rain. But the rains in the ashram and surrounding area were really welcome. But regardless of weather, our weather is hot, cold or humid, the inner climate here is always pretty pleasant. That is the divine magic of this abode of supreme peace, which houses the holiest of shrines on the face of this planet, the Mahasannidhi of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. To the sacred energy emanating from that holy seat, we bow with reverence and heartfelt love and deep gratitude. Bolo Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba Ji ki jai. Coming up on Morning Glory, an episode laden with the gravitas of Sai wisdom, as it features two of the most senior members of the Sai family, Mr. V. Srinivasan and Mr. K. Chakravarti. Today, I will bring you the first ever, the very first ever, and most importantly, the official announcement from the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust on the issue of Mudanhalli. This is in the form of Mr. K. Chakravarti's official reflection on the happenings at Mudanhalli on the Aradhana Day. This announcement is very important for every Sai devotee around the world since it puts the trust's standpoint into perspective and clears all the confusion that may be lingering in the minds of some. So, coming up in the second half of the show, Aradhana Day special reflection by Mr. K. Chakravarti of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. In this broadcast, he specially touches upon the developments at Mudanhalli and states the facts from the point of view of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. A must listen for everyone, everywhere. I urge you to download this episode of Morning Glory from Thursday Live Archives tomorrow onwards and circulate it amongst your family and friends who are in the Sai mission. If you need help with that, please write to us at listener@radiosai.org. This I'm going to feature in the second half of the show this morning. And in the meanwhile, you're welcome to inform your family and friends to tune to Morning Glory right now. But up first, our continuing series of reflection and reverie with Mr. V. Srinivasan. Today, I will bring you part 5. Mr. V. Srinivasan, as you may know, is the former All India President of the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization and also the former member of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. We recorded this marathon series of conversations with him at the Radio Sai Studios in Sundaram. Sundaram happens to be the Sai Hub in the city of Chennai, and this recording took place on the 9th of January 2017. Next week, right here on Morning Glory, you can catch the conclusion of this six-part conversation. And dear listeners, I have not forgotten, at the end of today's show, I will share with you the health update of the young lady whose life was saved by the Sai healthcare system in Prashantigram in Whitefield quite recently. I told you about her last week on Morning Glory, and today I will bring you up to speed. So today I urge you to stay tuned and glued to Morning Glory for the next 70 minutes or so. Over now to part 5 of Reflection and Reverie with Mr. V. Srinivasan. Have a listen, please.
So before we go on, Karuna, I must tell you of how Swami plays his leelas with even an ignoramus. You know, Jnaneshwar could even make a buffalo talk.
Yes.
So this happened to me also, that in Kodaikanal, Swami used to talk in Tamil, which I would translate for the people staying with him in Kodaikanal in the initial years.
He would speak in Tamil or Telugu?
Tamil. Okay. The beginning.
Okay.
See, I cultivated this habit of looking straight into his eyes rather than watching his lips. Though I heard what he said, but I was always looking into his eyes, and there seemed to be some communication on that. So while he was speaking, in the first 2 years, I think it was, he spoke only in Tamil. And one occasion, he started and went on in Tamil, and I never realized that suddenly he had switched to Telugu. And I went on translating, and everybody sitting around was watching what was happening. At the end of that session, his Swami only told one word. He said, ekagrita, that is single-mindedness on that. And then when the boys had all come once with him to Chennai, and that year we used to have a big sort of ranch-style house on the entry of the city, and Swami's boys stayed there. And one evening he had given permission for a meeting where business people had been invited. So he addressed them. He asked me to translate.
You would do the English translation?
Yes, for he was speaking in Telugu. And I translated into English. But that was not a very long speech. Maybe half an hour. And it was, you know, Swami's Telugu has a lot of Sanskrit in that, so it is easy to pick up. The next occasion was in Puttaparthi itself, and Sai Kulwant Hall. Then when Swami got up to speak, then Anil Kumar started to rise. Swami said, call Srinivas. So I was shuddering. You know, doing before a small audience and doing in Sai Kulwant are totally different things. So as I went, I first told Swami, Swami, no poetry, please. He smiled. Because his poetry is
mellifluous and very
difficult to understand what he... Second thing, I looked at the two, three boys sitting behind. I say, some words you'll have to help me. They say, sir, we don't know anything, we don't know. All of them ditched me, saying that, no, sir, we don't know any of the words. All of them wrote Telugu, but they were so scared. So I was literally on my own. So that entire discourse, I think it was a Guru Purnima discourse, if I remember, I translated. And I was wondering whether I had made a hash of it. But all, so many foreigners came to me and said, sir, today we really understood what Swami was saying. Thank you for it. I said, and I said, it's not me, it's Swami who did it. And it was at the end of that discourse that Swami said, Pava, Telugu Teliyudu. that he does not know Telugu.
Poor thing, he doesn't know Telugu.
Yes. At the end of that discourse.
After you had translated the entire discourse.
So at least his Swami covered up for me, saying that this fellow is an ignoramus and he has done what little bit he knew. And sometimes when he was talking to people inside the mandir, he would ask me to translate for them, when he talked to them. Yes, then the next thing was a speech in Hindi, that when Swami went to Hadshi and the evening function, after the welcome address, and Swami, it was term for somebody to speak from Swami's party, he asked me to come. And then I said, Swami, shall I speak in English or Hindi? So he said, speak in Hindi. So in that place, in the heart of Maharashtra, I gave a speech in Hindi. You know, I was so much with intrepidations. See, speaking on your own and speaking in front of Swami are two different things. But Swami was happy on that. So it is His grace which, you know, really what Jnaneshwar did with a buffalo. I believe it totally. Because Swami made people like me to translate into a language which I did not know. But gradually, you know, being with Swami over so many years, I picked up more and more Telugu and I could understand. But most often I would reply to him only in Tamil. Sometimes in Telugu, because I was scared that if the dialogue becomes prolonged, then I would be lost on that. Simple things I could tell him back in Telugu. Of course, Swami has also got the language of signals through the eyes.
And very subtle.
Very, very subtle. And you have to really be on the ball to catch those signals. And the boys with Swami are experts in that. But you have also to learn what he means and what that signal implies. So that is another language by itself with Swami on that. So this is something which is another miracle of Bhagwan, of what he made me talk and translate. In 2006, as you know, there was a Atirudra Mahayagnam in Puttaparthi. And then, of course, a lot of people wanted to do this in other places also. But Swami did not give permission. Finally, he gave permission for Chennai. And that took place here in 2007. And Swami came, stayed for the entire period of the Yajna. And on that occasion, there was this unique function called the Chennai Citizens Conclave, which took place in the Nehru Indoor Stadium near the central station. And it was attended by so many central ministers, chief ministers, governors, all that. It was a unique function. And I don't think such a function has taken place anywhere else except perhaps at Puttaparthi or Vrindavan, but not anywhere else. But it was a landmark occasion in Chennai on that. And then I could see how politicians reacted and were in the presence of Bhagwan. Though they were big, strong lions outside, in front of Swami, they were all pussycats. And Swami, though he had some affection for some of them, mostly he kept most politicians at a distance. But he was always reminding us how to behave with bureaucrats. Swami always said, you must give respect to the position that, say, a collector or a commissioner or somebody has. Not that you have to get anything from him, but you have to give respect to the position, not necessarily because of that particular individual, to that position. And not say that, oh, he's very junior to me, he's much younger than me, all that. That sort of attitude you should never adopt. Swami was a stickler for that.
Protocol was very important.
Yes, he was always very firm on that. So this Atirudra Mahayagnam was a grand success. And Swami was happy about it. So now we come to the year 2008. And that was when we noticed that Swami was beginning to gradually withdraw. though he continued to be very active and all that, but it was, then he's, you know, and suddenly he would say one day that, I don't have to wait till I'm 96. I can go any time I want.
He would say that, huh?
He said that.
Mm-hmm. You were there?
Yes, I was present. And we would all, of course, protest and all that, but his sayings like that, and also...
What provoked such a comment from him?
I'm not able to remember exactly what provoked it, but his reply is firmly etched in my mind,
mm-hmm.
that I don't have to wait till I'm 96.
Mm-hmm.
And he did give an indication that he would like his samadhi to be where it is today.
How did he indicate that?
I mean, it was not a sort of thing that this is my samadhi.
Uh-huh, right.
It's a nice place, you know, and things like that.
Hints, he was giving hints.
Yes, and I mean, if you were able to read between the lines, you would understand what he's talking about.
Okay.
And that it is just like Shirdi Baba talked about the Krishna Mandir.
Mandir. We will live there, we will play there, we will be very happy, he had said.
So, I first noticed in 2008 gradual signs of his beginning to withdraw.
Such as what? One was that he made the statement.
Statement, but sometimes he would not plan for long-term things, you know. He would listen and not reply.
I see.
And not actively participate in some of the discussions as such, which was different from what he used to do before. And he would not encourage a lot of talk as he used to before. So there were greater spells of silence than before. In 2009, he made his final visit to Kodaikanal. And that was the occasion, instead of going by road, he agreed to come by helicopter. So Swami came to Kodaikanal this time as a first occasion where he agreed to come by helicopter. And many of the people there at Puttaparthi were very upset with me that I was subjecting Swami to the strain of a helicopter ride. So we flew to Madurai and boarded the helicopter. Yes, there were three of us. Swami, Satyajit, and myself. So we took off from... It's about a 25-minute ride, actually, by helicopter. So we flew from Madurai towards the Palani Hills. Swami took the ride well.
Mm-hmm. He wore his seat belt and everything?
Yeah, we forced him to. But as we approached the hills, you know... They rise from the plains.
Right.
So the helicopter started to rise. And you have bluffs or rocky outcrops.
Right.
Which are sheer rock. And as the helicopter is fairly close to them, it's a bit frightening that if the helicopter goes and dashes against that, it would be disastrous. So I could see Satyajit was flinching a bit. Swami was sitting without a care and he said, then he looked at Satyajit and said, Bhayama.
Are you afraid?
Yes. So Satyajit said, no, Swami, and all that. But Swami was so casual and didn't flinch at all. And we had made a landing strip for the helicopter just behind Sai Shruti. So he landed there and within 5 minutes he was at Sai Shruti. And... After a brief, I think he stayed too many days. And afterwards, from there, while coming back also, we came by helicopter to Madurai. And from Madurai, we flew back to Puttaparthi.
In a chartered flight, obviously.
Yeah. Flights were okay, you know, but...
Helicopter was a new
helicopter, especially, you know, once he had gone from Whitefield to... All the way to... I think he went to Alike.
Mm-hmm.
And that was quite a noisy experience. I heard from Balram when they told me that. And people were afraid that this was also going to be something similar. But luckily, this was a much more modern
chopper.
And
Did you all need to wear Irma?
We didn't have to do that.
It was not so noisy. Yeah, we saw the pictures. It looked like a more sophisticated helicopter.
So it was an amusing experience. And the same year, Swami agreed to go to Mumbai and also go to Hadshi to, in response to the prayers of the devotee there who had built this beautiful Pandurang Kshetra there.
The Jada family.
So that I had the privilege of being with Bhagwan, and we stayed in Mumbai, and that was when Ratan Tata came to see Swami.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Swami had gone to the city. I think it was the day where he had the meeting in the Brahman Stadium. It was quite late by the time we got back to Dharmakshetra. And Ratan Tata was waiting there for almost 3 hours that evening. But he patiently waited, and Swami saw him in spite of being so tired. Swami was very gracious to him, and they had an intimate discussion for nearly about half an hour on that occasion.
Swami would speak under such circumstances in Hindi or English?
I think a mixture of both Hindi and English. Of course, I think Satyajit was near Swami and perhaps chipping in, but my memory seems to be that it was mostly between Swami and Ratan Tata. And Ratan was quite moved by that experience, and Swami retired almost at midnight on that day. And then I think it was not the next day, but the following day that we took off for Pune and went to Hadshi, where Swami was very happy. Have you been there?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
But not when Swami went, I went later, few months later.
So Swami, he had built a very spacious building for Swami, very architecturally unique, and the temples there, and the devotion of the rural people from Maharashtra touched Swami very much.
And the program was so beautiful.
Yes, it was.
Children.
And it was a great occasion. We all had a wonderful time. The kind of facilities that were provided by Jadhav were unbelievable. Then from there we came back and went to Latur, to Shivraj Patil's house. I think he also went to Deshmukh's place.
Vilasrao Deshmukh.
House. And then to Shivraj Patil's place. He spent the night there. And that was one of the occasions when I was asked to sleep in Swami's room.
Oh.
And I was on the floor, and my mortal fear was that I would snore in the night. And I told Satyajit, I said, just kick me if I'm snoring. He said, I will, sir. So, and we got up very early. Of course, Swami, I don't know whether he really sleeps, but he was awake, and we got ready very early in the morning. He had a... Then we went to Nanded, which was Chauhan's place. And from there we turned back to Mumbai. I think those were also wonderful trips to be on with Bhagwan on that. And then...
There was another very memorable trip to North India.
Yes, that was the next year.
2010
that Swami agreed to come to Delhi and stayed at the International Center. He went and saw Vajpayee ji, who was ailing very much. He has a special affection for Vajpayee. He went to his home and blessed him. And then addressed several meetings in different places of Delhi. And after that, we went to Shimla. And there, as you know, he inaugurated the Anand Nivas. Have you been there?
No, I haven't. I've seen only pictures so far.
You must go there, really.
Definitely.
And the devotion of the people of Himachal is unbelievable. They were lined on the streets as Swami drove in. The crowds were enormous. The Anand Nivas. The school is so nice. The children were...
It's right on top. They have cut the top of a mountain. It's like a big flat area with beautiful views all around.
Yes. It is a little away from the center of Shimla. But as if I remember, it's almost a 60-acre site. Very big there. And it has been done very well there. And our state president there has taken a lot of initiative to get this done on that. So Swami's visit there was wonderful. He enjoyed it. And it was in that year, 2010, that Swami decided to appoint trustees for the Central Trust. Prior to that, he was the sole trustee.
Hmm.
The others were members of the Council of Management.
Hmm.
So, he asked Justice Bhagavati to announce the five names of trustees. So, for the first time, there were so many trustees of the Central Trust. So, in hindsight, I think this was another indication of his withdrawal. And we couldn't understand what suddenly he felt the need. And next year, 2011, is the painful year for all Sai devotees and particularly to me, because it is a year when I lost my first daughter-in-law. Swami went into the hospital, I think, on the 28th of March. Almost on the same day, Jayashree, my first daughter-in-law, took ill. She had a liver complication. And she was in the Apollo hospital here. And I did not know her. I think she went in the hospital around the 25th. I didn't stay too many days and I started to move to Puttaparthi on the 28th. It was while I was on the road that I heard Swami had been taken to the hospital.
Oh, I see.
I didn't know earlier. So I drove straight into the hospital. And I stayed there. As you know, the events at the hospital have been so many times spoken about. Those of us were close, were there. Then my daughter-in-law's condition was getting worse and worse. And I could not leave because Swami was also not well. And it was around the 4th of April that the doctor said that Swami's condition is stabilizing. If you wish, you can go to Chennai for a few days. So I left on the 5th. And by the time I reached, Jayashree had already passed away. So I reached Chennai 1 hour after she died. And it was a terrible blow. But I didn't stay too many days. I was here just, I think, for 2 days after that. And then I returned back to Puttaparthi and was there till the day of the Mahasamadhi. I do not know how to describe the experience of being by the side of the avatar when he decides to ascend back. And we were witnesses, that's all. That's all I can say. So, this is the point where this journey of Sai for me apparently reached its destination. Not that my duties were over, but what I call as my journey with Sai, I felt culminated on the day the Mahasamadhi took place. And after that, there were a lot of turbulence and things which happened, which is neither here nor there. But for me personally, the journey was over on the 24th of April in 2011. That's all I have to say.
Thank you very much. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So, for the 40 years that you've been with Bhagwan, you must have learned so many lessons while you were in his physical presence and also after the Mahasamadhi.
Well, you're asking me a question which many have asked. And they have asked me as to what I had learned from Bhagwan in the 40 years that I spent with him. They want to know whether he gave me some mantra or some upadesh or gave me some special knowledge, jnana, etc. They're quite disappointed when I reply that Bhagwan did not give me any mantra or tantra. Our attention when we were with Swami was entirely focused on him. We were worried whether his chair was all right, whether his cushions were properly placed, whether his handkerchief was in the right place, whether there was water on the table by his side, whether there was anything that he needed. So all of those who were immediately in the physical proximity of Bhagwan, their entire attention was on the physical form of Bhagwan. They were not contemplating the Nirakara Roop when they were in the presence of the Sahakara Roop.
Nirakara meaning the formless absolute aspect of God, and Sahakara as in God with name and form.
Right. And these sound like very mundane things, you know, looking at Swami needs his kerchief has fallen down, or his cushions, his footrest is not all right. So our entire attention was on his physical form and what service we could give to him, which we were so fortunate to be placed in a position to do. But that does not mean that we did not learn anything. Just to be in the proximity of Bhagwan is a learning in itself, because there was no need for words for Bhagwan to teach or convey something. We have read in our Upanishads that the great rishis and the great maharishis taught their shishyas the real truths of the universe through the medium of silence. And it was through the medium of silence that grace flowed. So I really feel that we learnt a lot listening to what Swami was saying, though it may not be anything relevant to what doubts we may have had. Swami may be speaking on something very mundane. Swami may be speaking about some celebration. Swami may be speaking about a particular devotee. But that in itself was a teaching. There were lessons in that. So he molded us, those who were with him, in his physical presence, in inexplicable ways. So a lot of knowledge came to us in that. And then observing how Swami wanted things to be done, what was Swami's view on various matters, that also conveyed to us a lot of teaching. Because that gave us insights, some of which we had never even thought about. And they were not logical.
Like what?
You see, for example, you know, many cases, when a problem is posed to you, you apply your logical facility to resolve it. That logic comes from your past experience. That logic comes from what you have read in books, you have learned from your family, etc. But that is not the way the divine operates. The divine has his own medium and his own protocol as such, which to us in some cases may appear illogical, but it is the way to go about. Many times we have seen that Swami would proceed on a task in a manner which normally we would not do. But the way they resolved itself, the way that things got done, would in the end convince everybody that this was the way to move. And this was what, you know, the evidence of that, all the projects which Swami has achieved, the water projects, the hospital, the university. Normally, nobody would plan the hospital the way this has been done. Many people say this is more like a temple, and Bhagwan's presence makes it a temple of healing, a temple of love. But that's not normally what a logical person would do if he were asked to build a hospital. So similarly, you know, the concepts of Sai integral education, which we see today, are unlike those which are practiced in any other university in the world today. Because it is a rounded, all-pervasive knowledge rather than a speciality which is imparted. So, we learnt a lot of this kind of finesse by being in Bhagwan's presence. So, My answer sometimes disappoints people a lot. Did you waste 40 years of your time? I said, no, 40 years is not enough. I wish I had more time with Bhagwan, because it is undefinable by human time scales on this. And here I must say, you know, that people have also asked me whether you used to tell Swami all your problems.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow I never felt that I should tell him all the problems that one faces in one's life. I did tell him something, but he took care of all my problems.
Even the ones you didn't ask about?
Mostly the ones which I didn't ask
mm-hmm.
on that. In fact, he would complain to our family members when they tried to talk that I never tell him anything about our problems.
Mm-hmm.
So he would make it appear that I was at fault by not telling him all that was concerning my family and things like that, and that I never tell him anything personal. So he would put the shoe on the other foot by telling people that I never tell him anything. My belief is that with his devotees, his response was individualistic. There's no general response. To the same problem, there may be different solutions. What he guides you on a particular problem would be different for the way he guides somebody else who's facing the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no one size fits all.
Mm.
And that is true even today, that Swami's relationship with his devotees is heart to heart, direct, and not something which one can take it as a common yardstick of his approach to the various incidents which takes place in a human life.
Mm.
I think he mitigated the effect of our past karmas to enable our weak selves, we are weak, to work these out in this birth. Because we all know that all of us come with a baggage of past karmas. And I think that he helped us to do that. I don't think he interfered in the karmic law totally. He wanted us that we should become better human beings and we should start to move towards realizing that we are all divine and move the way which fully utilizes this great gift of human birth. Because, you know, you are aware, Swami in so many discourses has said how invaluable this human birth is. And what did he mean by that? It is this human birth is the opportunity for you to move towards realizing the innate divinity within you and also the divinity within all other people. These sound a bit theoretical, but really if you reflect on them, I think that one could understand the absolute truth in his teachings. You know, when I reflect, I feel that many devotees did not take the real benefit from him. Bhagwan had the whole universe in his hand and could do anything. But many people, they prayed to him and troubled him for mundane things. Their family, their health, their business.
Naming their grandchildren.
Yes. These were the things people, even people very close to him. And Bhagwan in his kindness would grant many of these prayers. They didn't listen. Then repeatedly he said that I give you what you want so that you may want what I have really come to give. People didn't realize that he wanted our transformation rather than just our devotion. And many of us had become used to him as a crutch for all our problems and decisions. Such people could not cope with a formless Bhagwan. And that's why we see several of these old devotees flocking to new Babas and Swamis. By this, if they really reflect, they have reduced their understanding of the avatar to a sadhu or a pujari. What a tragedy for them that having tasted the amrit of Bhagwan, today they are looking for simple chai pani on that. And this is my take on why we see some of these people doing the things that they are doing today.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. We are coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the abode of Supreme Peace. The current time in the ashram is 18 minutes past 10 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time, and today is the 27th of April, 2017. You just heard episode 5 of Reflection and Reverie with Mr. V. Srinivasan. We eagerly look forward to your thoughts, comments and suggestions regarding this ongoing series, Reflection and Reverie with Mr. V. Srinivasan. As always, you can reach us by email at listener@radiosai.org. And next week, you can catch the conclusion of this 6-part special series right here on Morning Glory. And now, I will play for you a reflection by the Secretary of the Management Committee of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, a name well known throughout the Sai world, Mr. K. Chakravarti. In this message that was first aired on the Aradhana Mahotsavam, or Our Remembrance Day, for the first time ever, we heard an official announcement regarding the situation in Mudanhalli. Halfway through this reflection, Mr. Chakravarti takes up the issue and does some straight talking. I urge all devotees to pay careful attention to this message. Over now to Mr. K. Chakravarti with his Aradhana Day reflection.
Salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan. Fellow devotees of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, today marks the completion of 6 years since Mahasamadhi took place. It's a day of remembrance, a day on which we solemnly recall the historic time that Swami spent in this place, and the many leelas and great acts of service that Swami did to humanity. Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba took birth in this place, Puttaparthi, a poor, remote, backward village, on the 23rd of November, 1926. At the young age of 14, he announced to the world that he did not belong to any family, and he had come to redeem the world. He expressed that the whole of humanity was his family, and it made no difference to him whether his devotees belonged to any particular religion, place, country or gender. The ancient Indian philosophical idea of Vasudeva Kutumbakam was clearly embodied in the declaration made by Bhagwan Baba in 1940. Baba led his whole life in keeping with this declaration till the time of his Mahasamadhi on the 24th of April 2011. He walked the talk and in every possible way demonstrated that his thoughts, words and deeds were in unison. In the initial years, due to the inaccessibility of Puttaparthi, not many people visited Swami. But later, a large number of devotees, rich and poor, rulers and the ruled, old and young alike, found solace in Swami. By early 1950s, Swami had travelled to many places in South India. Prashanthi Nilayam started taking shape with the construction of the Mandir. Baba continued to live in Prashanthi Nilayam and took a direct interest in the development of the ashram and also the village of Puttaparthi. He personally cleared the plans for the Mandir and other buildings and monitored their construction. It was easily accessible to his devotees and repeatedly asserted in private conversations, interviews, and in his innumerable discourses the Prashanti Nilayam was his home and place, and continue to stay here according to the promise given to Mother Ishwaramma. He also declared that Prashanti Nilayam would become a spiritual center, and people from all walks of life and from all over the world would come flocking to Prashanti Nilayam for his darshan, seeking solace and spiritual upliftment.
Dear listeners, I'm going to take the liberty of slightly fast-forwarding this reflection towards the part where he speaks about the issue at hand. Please bear with me.
I've been going on with the same enthusiasm and ardor. On the Ugadi day in 2010, Swami decided to expand the board of trustees of the Satya Sai Central Trust and reconstitute its council of management. 5 trustees were appointed and a 4-member council of management was also formed. This was formally announced on the Ugadi day by Justice P.N. Bhagwati as per the decision and directions of Swami. I have spoken at length regarding the medical facilities and the educational initiatives of Bhagwan. Now mention has to be made about disturbing deviation from good conduct after Bhagwan's Mahasamadhi by a few persons connected earlier with the institutions of Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. The late Sri Madiyal Narayan Bhatt of Alike village in the Bantwal taluk of Dakshina Kannada of Karnataka set up schools at Alike and Muddanahalli. He had set up Lok Seva Vrinda. He had an untimely death due to a road accident. People who were with him at that time had no means to run the schools. When they made a plea to Bhagwan to help them in running the schools, Bhagwan set up the trust, Sri Satya Sai Lok Seva Trust. This was in the year 1978 to manage these schools. Bhagwan was the sole trustee. At the time of Mahasamadhi, there was a board of management which worked under the guidance of Bhagwan Baba. After Mahasamadhi, there was a need to appoint trustees to see Satya Sai Lok Seva Trust. The board of trustees of Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, after consultation, appointed the 3 following trustees to Sri Satya Sai Lok Seva Trust: Sri U. Gangadhar Bhatt, Sri B. R. Vasuki, and Sri S. S. Naganand are the first 3 trustees. The Sri Satya Sai Central Trust did not consider appointing Narasimha Murthy as a trustee at that time. He then came to Puttaparthi, met the trustees of Sri Satya Sai Central Trust and pleaded that he be appointed as a trustee to Sri Satya Sai Lok Seva Trust. The Sri Satya Sai Central Trust then appointed him as a trustee. Sometime after his appointment, he started claiming that Bhagwan was sending him messages to act in a particular manner, and that he was bound to do so. Soon thereafter, he propagated the idea of Bhagwan being in contact in a subtle form, enlisting the participation of Madhusudan Rao Naidu, a former student of Whitefield campus of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. As part of the increasing claims of Madhusudan Rao Naidu and Narasimha Murthy regarding receiving messages from Bhagwan, the former started giving discourses. Such discourses given by Madhusudan Rao Naidu were translated by Narasimha Murthy as if it were Bhagwan speaking. Progressively, such charade had become even worse, with Madhusudan Rao Naidu receiving Pada Namaskar and letters imitating Bhagwan. The Sri Satya Sai Central Trust did not officially say anything against these questionable activities. However, a large number of devotees of Bhagwan were shocked by these questionable activities, desired that Sri Satya Sai Central Trust should respond. Due to the increasing misdeeds of Madhusudan Rao Naidu and Narasimha Murthy, it was thought that Sri Satya Sai Central Trust should bring to the notice of devotees the questionable claims made by them, and especially the brazen methods of raising money for what they claimed as activities to be undertaken under the direct instructions of Bhagwan. They have also indulged in using social media to project an impression of their doing many activities by appropriating the photographs of Swami's institutions, including hospitals, look-alike logos and color combinations in their material. This has led to some legal action taken against them in some countries. I mentioned earlier about the Sri Satya Sai Lok Seva Trust. Having secured the appointment as trustee of Sri Satya Sai Lok Seva Trust from Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, Narasimha Murthy had resorted to subverting the scheme of Sri Satya Sai Lok Seva Trust. Bhagwan had invested the power to appoint trustees of the Sri Satya Sai Lok Seva Trust to Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. In flagrant disobedience to Bhagwan's direction, Narasimha Murthy resorted to amending that provision illegally in the year 2012. Such amendment effected by him is untenable. Sri Satya Sai Central Trust felt that good counsel must be given to Narasimha Murthy so that he can desist from violation regarding the scheme of things given by Bhagwan. Meetings were held by members of Sri Satya Sai Central Trust with members of Sri Satya Sai Lok Seva Trust in this regard. In spite of the best effort of the members of Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, Narasimha Murthy did not revoke the illegal amendment. It is under these circumstances that Sri Satya Sai Central Trust was forced to take a legal course and file a suit before the appropriate court. The suit is now pending in appeal before the district judge at Chikbalapur. In the recent past, two of the trustees of Sri Satya Sai Lok Seva Trust have suffered from pangs of conscience and have retraced their wrong path by filing proceedings in court by pointing out illegal activities of Narasimha Murthy and coterie. They are admitted having been a party to the illegal amendment of the trust deed of Sri Satya Sai Lok Seva Trust. They have also asserted that Sri Madhusudan Rao Naidu is an impostor and a fraud. Some mention needs to be made about taking over of management of Sri Satya Sai General Hospital at Whitefield by Bhagwan from Sri Srinivas. The Sri Satya Sai General Hospital at Whitefield was set up by Srinivas's mother, a devotee. After her demise, Srinivas was managing that general hospital. However, as there was a perceived misrepresentation on the part of Srinivas about the Sri Satya Sai General Hospital managed by him, under the auspices of Sri Satya Sai Health and Education Trust, set up by his mother as part of Bhagwan's own trust, a direction was given by Bhagwan to hand over General Hospital at Whitefield
to Sri Satya Sai Medical Trust.
This happened in August 2008. From then, the activities of Sri Satya Sai General Hospital at Whitefield have been taken care of by Bhagwan through Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. It was at the same time, due to this perceived misrepresentation by Srinivas, that Bhagwan had removed him from being a member of the managing committee of Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. The General Hospital, which is located in the building of Sri Satya Sai Health and Education Trust, set up by Srinivas's mother, was shifted to the premises of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Whitefield, in July 2016. There are many questionable activities of Narasimha Murthy and his partners. However, one need not go through the list of wrongdoings. But still, one aspect of high-handedness of Narasimha Murthy and his people needs to be mentioned. This relates to a building constructed by Sri Satya Sai Central Trust under instructions of Bhagwan in 2009, tiled as Chancellor's residence, as part of the setting up of Muddanalli campus of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. All expenditure was met by Bhagwan from Sri Satya Sai Central Trust for this building. Since the expenditure on the building was incurred by Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, it was natural for Sri Satya Sai Central Trust to take responsibility for custody and maintenance of the building. Accordingly, the security officer from Sri Satya Sai Central Trust was sent to Muddanahalli to take charge of the building after Mahasamadhi. When security officer went there to carry out his duties, Narasimha Murthy and his people forcibly sent him out of the building, falsely claiming that it is the building of Sri Satya Sai Lok Seva Trust. This event is reflective of a continued rash behavior of Narasimha Murthy. It is rather painful to narrate these consistent deviations from good behavior by Narasimha Murthy and others associated with him. Our attention has been drawn to the recent claims of Narasimha Murthy in an address delivered by him, where he has gone to the extent of deriding the holy precincts of Bhagwan's Mahasamadhi at the Sai Kulwant Hall at Prashanti Nilayam, by referring to it, quote-unquote, as a place which need not be revered or visited in view of the presence of the subtle form, unquote, in the presence of Madhusudan Naidu at Muddanahalli in the Chancellor's residence building forcibly occupied by them and is now christened by them as Sai Anandam. I do not know whether this should be treated as a laughable matter or as something bordering on tragedy. If there is a place which is considered as the holiest by the devotees of Bhagwan, it's obviously the Bhagwan's Mahasamadhi at Prashanti Nilayam. It is to be noted by the devotees of Bhagavan that when it comes to resorting to collection of money, no rash statements is considered by Narasimha Murthy as beyond his bounds. It's our earnest prayer to Bhagavan to continue to bless his ever-expanding number of devotees who throng this place, celebrating various auspicious and holy occasions, personal and institutional. And endow them the sense of discrimination between good and bad, between right and wrong, so that all of us, the devotees, are able to reach the lotus feet at our appointed time without getting entrapped in the web and myth of so-called subtle body. May Swami's boundless love prevail, and may he bless and guide the wrongdoers to follow the right path. The parable in the Holy Bible of the prodigal son teaches us that repentance is reciprocated by the Lord with love and compassion. May Swami bless all of us with peace and joy on this holy day of his sixth Aradhana Mahotsava. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. Today is the 27th of April 2017, and the current time in the ashram is 39 minutes past 10 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time. You just heard Mr. K. Chakravarti's Aradhana Day reflection, in which, for the very first time, the official stand of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust was spelt out for the Global Sai family regarding the issue of Mudanhalli. And we look forward to your feedback to this. As always, you know where you can find us on email, listener@radiosai.org. With that, it is now time for me to bring you up to speed regarding the young lady about whom I talked to you last Thursday, who had met with a life-threatening car accident on the early hours of Sunday, April 16th. Last week on Morning Glory, I told you how Bhagwan Baba saved her life through his state-of-the-art healthcare system, which is infused with his divine compassion and empathy for the patient. The world's finest and most competent and utterly caring medical professionals in the service of his divine worship galvanized all systems and saved a young life. The accident, as I told you, took place at 3 a.m. on Sunday, April 16th. She was brought to our super speciality hospital here in Prashanti Gram by midday the same day on Sunday from a nearby town where she had been taken for emergency treatment. This accident took place somewhere near Dharmavaram. It's a nearby town. On Sunday night, she reached our super hospital in Prashanti Gram on Sunday by noon or maybe 11 something in the morning. And by Sunday night, she was moved to our super hospital, Swami Satya Sai Super Speciality Hospital in Whitefield, Bangalore. Right away, she was taken to neuro ICU because of the head injury she had suffered, the fractures in her face and jaws, and multiple fractures in her all over her body. She was treated for neuro on Sunday night when she was admitted, also on Monday. On Tuesday, she underwent marathon surgeries, multiple surgeries for her orthopedic problems, her broken bones, and especially for her face and jaws, maxillofacial surgeries were performed. And then on Tuesday, after the long day of surgery, she was kept again in the surgery. By Thursday or Friday, she was moved out of ICU, and I happened to visit her exactly a week after the accident on last Sunday, which is April the 23rd. My husband and I drove to Whitefield Hospital to check on her, and we found that she was resting very peacefully in the multi-speciality ward on the second floor. And obviously she had lost considerable weight because, you know, she's been on IV on the saline and so ill and in acute pain, and because her mouth has undergone so much of surgery, she can't obviously eat any much orally yet. She was bandaged extensively all over her body, and she was hooked to a number of tubes and IV saline and all that. So, you know, we were standing by her bedside, and she gently opened her eyes, and she was very happy to see us. And in a very low voice, she tried to whisper to my husband and I, and she said she was coping well, everything was all right, she was going to be fine. She also made it a point to tell us that she was being looked after very well. Everybody, the nurses, the doctors, everyone was so kind to her, so caring, and they were full of love. And then she said, even Swami came to bless me. That's when we were all ears and we said, what do you mean Swami came to bless you? So she was speaking very softly, and when I realized the gravitas of what she was saying, I quickly put on the mobile phone. I even tried to record it on her whispers on my mobile in a video format. And she tried to explain to me that after she opened her eyes on the ward, on the bed, she found Swami himself in person, flesh and blood, was standing by her bedside. He was dressed in a red robe and he was blessing her and looking upon her very kindly. She said she cried out to him and she asked him, why did all this happen to her? Especially since she's lived a very disciplined life and never even taken a day's rest in her young life. She's very hardworking. I can vouch for that. She said, Swami first looked up and he moved his open fist in semicircles, you know, that characteristic style. And then he held his hand facing her, his palm facing her in Abhayahasta gesture. And he told her that everything will be okay now. He also assured her in a very loving and gentle voice that he's always with her. She told me the exact words he used, which I can't reproduce because he spoke to her in Telugu. It sounded exactly like Swami. And she said, he said, why are you worried? I'm always with you. She said he was full of love and concern for her, and he reassured her of his protection and blessings. Our young lady also told me that when Swami was standing beside her bedside, she saw that from above the ceiling, there was lots of beautiful bright light streaming upon her. All she could see was lots of light, and she felt she was inside a temple. By the way, the young lady is an observant and a very devout Muslim by religion. And because she grew up in Puttaparthi, like many others here, she and her family have the highest love and respect for Bhagwan. There is a sizable Muslim community here in Puttaparthi who have so much of love and respect for Bhagwan for all that he has done for them. And the young lady is one amongst them. After Swami's visit to check on her, she said she felt very peaceful and she's coping calmly and bravely with her situation. She's very grateful for the gift of life that she sees purely as Bhagwan Baba's gift of grace to her. Especially she thinks because her little daughter is his student in the primary school here in Prashanthi Nilayam. Dear listeners, such incidents of Baba's direct omnipresence in our life are experienced directly by devotees everywhere. Swami has categorically stated, and we have to have full faith in his word, that he's always with us, in us, around us, above us, below us. He is us. All of us have this direct and heart-to-heart connect with us. This recent episode of our employee at Swami's Whitefield Hospital is not unique. So many of us are experiencing his reminders that we are constantly in connection with him. So on that happy note, and the note that Swami is always there for us, this becomes more important, I think, especially since some people were very emotional on Aradhana Day. Swami may have left the form, but he hasn't left us in any way whatsoever. And that's such a nice reminder for all of us. And on that happy note, I urge you to share your feedback to today's episode of Morning Glory by email. Please write to us at listener@radiosai.org. And since I have time on my side today, luckily, I want to conclude today's episode of Morning Glory with your favorite Pata Mandir Aarti, the Aarti song that used to be sung to Swami in many early years. Please enjoy it and have a saisam day ahead. Jai Sai Ram.
Jai Saini Sarvashuni Jagadishuni Pujantu Mana Saini Jai Saini Sarvashuni చిత్రవతి తీరము పరమ పవనము వేద వేదాంతుడైన సాయి మహాత్ముని రుల్లిన భక్తుల బాడలు మాపల కలిసి ఉండే ప్రతి సాయేశుని మహేశ్వరుని పరాత్మరుని కలిసి ఉండే ప్రతి సాయేశుని మహేశ్వరుని పరాత్మరుని ధూపది పాములని వెలిగించి స్వామికి పంచభక్షణని వేద్యములని చేసి పాలించే ద్రోచి సాయినాథుని శ్రీనివాసుని పరమేశ్వరుని సత్యసాయిని పాలించే ద్రోచి సాయినాథుని శ్రీనివాసుని పరమేశ్వరుని పూజంతో మన సాయిని జయ సాయిని సర్వేశుని జగదీశుని భక్తవత్సలని పాదవిగతియని భజనలు చేసి భక్తి శ్రద్ధలతో మంగళములు చేసి వారములని విని మంగళములు పడి జయ హరతి
Bye.